Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And the people of the old, the thing that took them to the shore of safety and prosperity was yaqeen, conviction, certainty on the promises of Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the absence of that level of yaqeen brings about the problems for the people in the latter zamana. They had the yaqeen. So the yaqeen brought them contentment. The yaqeen allowed them to live in simplicity. They were happy. Now we want to replace the yaqeen with abundance, with our intelligence, with how smart we are. And every level we reach, we feel it is not right, not enough to survive. Wealth come to a certain point where it's not enough, go above. Whichever bracket, whichever level we are, then we find the dissatisfaction, we find the insecurity. Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi said, لَا يُفْلِحَ آخِرُ هَذِي الْأُمَّةِ. If this ummah wants to prosper at any time, then they'll have to revert, go to the back, go to the past. You come to the past, you'll come right. But if you leave the way of the past and think of your own ways, it may seem to be glamorous, it may seem to be attractive, but really it's got no substance. You go and analyze it. For that moment you feel some type of excitement, you find some type of sentiments, but after it's gone. There are many people that came to live in Spingo Beach, and the old man talking of, and they took up homes or they bought and built homes near the beach. So many of them I knew and I had some acquaintance. So I asked them that you took a home right near the beach. How is it? You feel impressed, you feel nice? No. Novelty wore out in the first week. It was just a craze. We're living here in front of the sea. You can see the oceans, you can see the waves. But the novelty wears out in 1 week. After that, you know, when last we sat down, made a near to look at the beach, finished, it was gone. So the thing that we need to endeavor and bring up into the life is this aspect of yaqeen, iman. And the people of the past had it. When they had it, they led simple lives, very simple, easy to get along with them. They didn't take exception. You look at the people in the past, and Umar radiallahu anhu is on the minbar. And Usman al-Ghani radiallahu anhu is coming with a little delay for the Jummah namaz. You can imagine, it's a Jummah, Masjid al-Nabawi, and Umar radiallahu anhu is the Amir al-Mu'minin and the Khatib. And from that point, he's reprimanding Usman al-Ghani radiallahu anhu, it's a Jummah and you're coming with such a delay. So Usman al-Ghani says, yes, I was caught up in some work, and the moment I heard the azan, I came in. I just made wuzu and came in. So Umar reprimanded for the second time, well, wudu aidan, just made wudu. Don't you know that when a person has to come for Jummah, he has to make ghusl and then come to Jummah? But Usman radiallahu anhu is not upset. You know, my whole reputation is gone. You know who I am? I am Zunnurain, married to both the daughters of Rasul-e-Pak. And you know who I am? I was the one that bought that well for the Muslims when they were in constraints. There was no water. I was the one that offered it. And Rasulullah then said, Usman has secured his Jannah. And now you're speaking to me like this. I was the one that sponsored Hafja Tabuk. Approximately 30,000 army, I was the one that supported. And this is how you speak to me. So Usman Ghani is not concerned about it. Thabit ibn Qais, his hadith comes in Abu Dawud Sharif, showing the mutaqaddimin, what their style was, and how we drifted away into materialism and secularism, and how our mind has all taken a turn. So he's got a lengthy hadith that we were going towards, perhaps it was Muta, right? Yes, it was Muta, where they had to fight the Romans. So one Yemeni had accompanied me. Nothing but his sword is got. He got to war facing an infamous army, Roman army. Only sword is got. In the meanwhile, he saw one person slaughtering a camel. So he asked him for a piece of the skin. The skin is going to be thrown because you're traveling. You know, we're going to carry the skin around. So he took the skin, made a shield out of it. So he says, I saw a Roman, and all his equipment, all his weapon was golden, thick, nice gold. Whether it was a spear, whether it was a sword, whether it was a shield, whether it was the saddlery, but heavy laden with gold. And Yafri al-Muslimin, whichever direction he's going, and he's just wiping out the Muslims. So this Yemeni that was accompanying me, he saw this. So he hid behind a rock, and he saw that Roman passing. When he saw the Roman passing from the back, he chopped off the leg of the horse. The moment he fell off the horse, he chopped him plus. Now, it is a situation in a war. They say, مَنْ قَتَلَ قَتِيلًا فَلَهُ سَلَبُهُ. Whoever kills the person, then all his belongings go to him. Whatever he had an armored car that would belong to him. He had so much of wealth that belongs to him. Would root the person who was killed, the opposition. So Thabit ibn Qais says, I saw this. And now the announcement is made that مَنْ قَتَلَ قَتِيلًا فَلَهُ سَلَبُهُ. So this Madadi that was with me, this Yemeni, he presented all what he had earned from that Roman, all that gold. To Hazrat Khalid radiallahu anhu, didn't give it to him. So Thabit said, you know, I will report this to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This was supposed to be going to him, but you aren't giving it to him. So anyway, whatever happened, but that wasn't given to that Imadadi. It wasn't given to him. So now they return to Medina Munawwara. After that Mu'tah was over, they come back to Medina. Now Thabit is sitting there on one side, that Madadi is sitting, and Khalid ibn Walid is sitting. And now the Thabit ibn Qais is giving a report of what's happening. And when he's given the report, he mentioned this as well. And he says to Hazrat Khalid, Dunaka ya Khalid, see, I told you, I'll report you. And Rasulullah says, alright. He asked him, what happened? You see, you will report Khalid to what happened? So he gave the whole story. Right. So Thabit ibn Qais is reporting the whole story before Rasulullah SAW, complaining against Hazrat Khalid Diyan. So it came to this point. Rasulullah SAW cautioned Thabit ibn Qais and says, Hal antum tariku li umara'i lakum safwata umurihim wa alayhim qadruhum. Won't you spare my amirs? I appointed an amir. Right. Won't you spare? Now you come and report all these cases to me. Can't you just show them the respect and don't interfere in their whole administration? Because The administration, the decision that is taken, the administration, can be of two types. One is something that is straightforward. Right? And one is left to the discretion of the Amir. So this type of announcement is left to the discretion. He's not entirely eligible. See this, what was given, not entirely eligible. It's left to the discretion of the Amir. The Amir feels, all right, I should give it to him, then I must give it to him. He's got the right to do it. He can exercise this option. But if he wants, he can make it part of the spoils. So he's got both. He's got the right to exercise the option, and he's got the right not to exercise the option. So if he didn't exercise the option, then it's all right, it's not a problem. But now the one that is reporting this entire hadith, and the one that was reprimanded, the one that is reprimanded, Thabit ibn Qais, he's reprimanded for this. But he is reporting this hadith exactly word for word, verbatim. He's been reprimanded, but he's reporting it exactly. One is now, you look at the yaqeen that they had, one is the love they had for Rasulullah Baksan, that this is how it happened, that what happened to me, I caught it on that occasion, but he's reporting it, exactly he's reporting it. So the love they had, and the love to preserve the word of Rasulullah Baksan, and pass it on, although it may go against their own personal reputation. See that? Reputation was gone, not concerned about. Everything else is not concerned about. If there was a thing that was concerning them, was the preservation of Allah's word, or Rasulullah's word, and the execution. Not our own reputation. Today now it's my reputation, my izzat, my family, and there must be no blemish. Everything else is alright, you can tarnish something else, you can spoil it, it's alright. But my reputation, my name, my integrity, me. So the whole goalpost has been shifted from Allah Ta'ala to oneself. Before it was all about Allah Ta'ala. Now it's about oneself. What I did, what was my achievement, what can I do, what I have done. So to advise someone nowadays, straight and clear, becomes very difficult. Because to advise someone straight and clear, I need to have such a rapport that I can just tell you. I can tell you straight on the spot, and you won't feel affected at all. You will feel what is being told to me is a blessing. Now you have to advise someone, you have to go round and round, make a story, and then in a roundabout way, get to him. Very good, very good. Then round and round and round, and then eventually you get to the person. How long that Islah takes? That's why Hazrat Mujaddid al-Fasani rahmatullah says that the most important step in this whole path is fana. And what fana? Fana has been explained in different ways. He explained it in this way, that detach yourself from everything else besides the relationship with Allah. Everything else, detach yourself. That means, detach doesn't mean abandon, give away, and throw, you know, it doesn't mean that. But your heart and your mind is not occupied by any other thought. If there's any thought that is overwhelming your mind, overwhelming yourself, is the presence, the consciousness, the greatness, the majesty of Allah Ta'ala. It's overwhelming. At any given point in time, that's the overwhelming thought, Allah Ta'ala. I said the same thing, for now, but in different words. By the grace of Allah, it all comes to the same thing, but each person will explain it differently. Sometimes it is at the level that the person is speaking. Sometimes the same fana is for the beginner, and sometimes it is for the person that's come right to the end. In simple words, for the beginner, this whole word of fana, what it means? It means humble acceptance. Humble acceptance. Can you add anything else to it? Accept the truth coming from Allah Ta'ala, from Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, from the Sahaba Kiram, or your pious elders that are quiet experience, then just accept it. And accept it with humility, accept it with a cheer. And then you see this world becomes Jannat. Really. Literally this world becomes Jannat. Just that you don't see this Jannat, but it becomes Jannat. That humble acceptance. Anything that comes from Allah Ta'ala. Anything that came from Rasulullah, anything that came from your pious elders, Sahaba Kiram, Tabi'een, Aimmah Mujtahideen, came from them, right? And it's absolutely authentic. And then your pious elders that are giving you direction. So he says, by these people in the past, in fact, this road to progress requires just two things. One is that commitment to the Sunnah, and one is the extreme love that you have for the Shaykh. That love that you've got for the Shaykh. And number two is the complete commitment to the Sunnah. You got that in your moving. Now you don't find these things. You find people, someone is coming for Zamanas, they come. But either they don't give that commitment, or they don't show that level of love. When they don't show that level of love, then they get what you are. What you are bargaining, that's what you get. What you're paying for, you get that much. You pay the price and you get that. One person is coming to the Khanqa. He stays just for a week or so. And the Shaykh gives him the Khilafat and he's gone. So the rest of the people at the Khanqa, they think to themselves, hey, we are sitting here, staying here for over a year, 2 years, 3 years, and we don't see any fireworks, nothing's happening. This man came of the blues. He stayed 1 week, he has got his certificate for Khilafat and he's gone. Kya ho gaya? Maybe the Shaykh is not making dua for us, he may not make tawajjuh on us. Something has been off somewhere here. There's some discrepancy. He is a new man, just came in now and he's gone. So, you know, the world is such that they say that even the walls, they got ears, they convey the message. Now this is airwaves, airwaves. Whatever you're talking about, and it reaches. So this thing must have reached the Shaykh, that's what they're talking about. So, in this path, there is the need to straighten the mindset. See, the mind must be right. The trust must be right. The love must be right. Then you see the man is flowing. He's flying, not flowing only, he's flying. The mind is right, the love is right, the attachment is right. Everything is going right, it's moving. Then that man, he's moving at a tremendous speed, he's moving. But this must be right. But if the mind is not right, well, he's one of those things now. And I had a past share, but that was the original thing. It's now, it's just a spare tire and I just have to work now. That was the original, you see. And if the Shaykh hears about that, he says, alright, I'm a passenger, so never mind, we're all passengers. Now, Bilas thought so much, they don't think what they're talking about, just blurting out things. Right? And then we are concerned that I'm doing everything, but I don't see the progress. But it's because of the mindset. The mindset is not right. When the mindset is not right, then you get what you have bargained for. When Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Ilyas Sahib passed away, so people began to turn towards Hazrat Muhammad Yusuf Sahib, who was the second Amir of the Tabligh Jamaat. So people are free in their tongues, free in their minds. Mind is not right, then the tongue won't be right. And we think to ourselves, yeah, I just said something, so what? It's not a big deal now. But it has such a big impact, you know, the tongue, what came out. Because the mind was entertaining these type of thoughts. It was entertaining the thought, then that was the thing that came out from the tongue. So your mind was not right, therefore the utterance was not right. And therefore then you pushed backwards. Now you see this level of commitment, the level of love, the level of loyalty, that is the thing that counts. I ask you, in a marriage, after the marriage is concluded, right, then is it the beauty that counts, or is it the loyalty that counts? Someone that is a little bit old in the marriage, not a youngster. Youngster is looking only for novelty, excitement. Doom dam talash karta hai, aur kuch kya, kya? He's just looking for fireworks. The person is old in the marriage, 20 years, 25 years, is he more concerned about the entertainment in the marriage, or he looks at the, he respects the loyalty? Obviously, looks at the loyalty. He doesn't, this is a secondary thing. So anyway, this type of letters would come from the Shaykh Rahmatullah Alayhi, that this is what they're saying. Now, whoever your Shaykh is, now give him that loyalty, give him that respect, give him that love. When you show him that, then you see yourself moving. And if you don't show that, then, like I say, you will gain what you are paying for. How much you're paying for it, that's what you'll gain. You are giving 10 rands, so you may get just one loaf of bread. And you're giving 1,000 rands, you're getting 10 loaves or 100 loaves, right? You're getting what you're paying for, you're getting that much. Now you want to know why he's got 100 loaves and why he got one loaf, then you're getting what you are paying for. So here you're paying with love, you're paying with commitment, you're paying with loyalty, you're paying with respect. So proportion to what you are paying, that's what you're receiving. How important is this? What one statement of Mujaddid al-Fasani rahmatullahi, how important it is that the adherence to the sunnah and the love for the Shaykh. Proportionate is your progress. And if there is a deficit, then there's a deficit in the outcome as well. What production you're supposed to be getting, you don't get that production, it is because of what you're paying. You pay and so you receive. So they asked the Shaykh Rahmatullahi, letters are coming in now. Well, Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullahi has passed away. Man that is gone, he can't be reversed, he can't come back. So the questions are flowing. He's accomplishing, or he's doing, all right. But it's not like Muhammad Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullahi. Not that type of, not at that level. So, Shaykh Rahmatullahi has replied to these people. Says, "Jo ho uski qadar karo. The one that is now, then appreciate him. Iske baad ye bhi nahi milenge. After him, you won't even get this, what you are disregarding now. And after him, you won't get this much as well." And then you will be worried about, see, the sudden drop from where to where to where. So in all that interim, you've lost so much. Had you held on firm, you would have just progressed and progressed and progressed and carried on. Whoever, someone, one driver is gone and he's replaced by the next driver. But you showed him the same respect, the show him same love, the same loyalty, and you're moving with that same speed and trusting in Allah Ta'ala, purely in Allah Ta'ala. In fact, you'll get even more. I'm saying this, trusting in Allah, and with confidence in Him, you'll get even more. Because now, it is a little bit of a task, because you're already acquainted with one. And then, suddenly now, you have to get acquainted to the next. Is it an easy thing? Like you had one wife, and she's gone, or she's replaced. Can she fit in so easily? Can she fit into your life so easily? One hadith is just coming to mind now. Just i'tibar. It's not a deduction, it's an i'tibar. It's a different thing now. I'tibar is a different thing, and deduction is a different thing. Salasun yu'tihimullahu ajrahum marratain. There are three different types of people, and Allah rewards them double fold. One of them is the one who believed in Isa alayhi salam, and then he got Rasul al-Basam and he believed in him. So his reward is twofold. Because it's a big qurbani, very big qurbani. You're so attached and so attached and so attached, right? And then you have to move on to the next one and give him the same amount, in fact a greater love, if to give to the one that is present. So you think Allah will just hold it, take it lightly. He'll take it even more seriously. He was loyal to this one, he's loyal to this one. That means his heart is with me. And because his heart is with me and he wants to come to me, so he's showing the full loyalty, the full respect that this person deserves. He is not compromised the love that is supposed to be shown. So, dene wali zat Allah Ta'ala. The giver is Allah Ta'ala. This is just the means. The Shaykh is just the means. The tap is just the means. It is not the giver of the water. But yes, you will have to respect the tap for the flow to continue. The fan, right, is just the means. Right? The power is not the fan. Power is elsewhere. But you will, for the fan to work, for you to enjoy the air, you have to respect that fan. You say, no, it's a fan, so on. Allah Pak does, and you break the fan. Kahi hawa milegi? You'll get the, you won't get. You have to respect that thing. It's an izam of Allah Ta'ala. Things don't happen directly. They happen through some means or the other. But your duty is to respect the means. The creator is Allah Pak. The father and the parents are not the creators. You can tell your father and your parents, well, you can tell them very clearly that you didn't bring about, it's Allah Ta'ala. What are you talking about your rights? You may say that, right? You know the means. But Allah Pak, who created your father, created you, and he is instructing by Anishkul li wa li walidayk. You regard him, you regard me. You respect me and you respect him as well. He is the doer. But the doer is saying, you respect me and you respect him. See now, this thought, it just goes off. The thought is not right. But the thought is not right, so the reception also is weak. You don't get the reception. Now, when the reception is not right, you're not getting that amount of reception, then we need to think, why am I not getting the reception that I expected? So many a times, قُلْ هُوَ مِنْ عِنْدِ أَنْفُسِكُمْ. This type of a problem is because of your problem, your weakness. It's not that the giver is not giving. He's giving like he was giving, he's giving now. But you aren't receiving as well. You're not receiving how you're supposed to be receiving, so you're not getting it how you're supposed to be getting. So it's not the giver. The giver is giving, the same giver is giving. But you're not accepting it with open arms. Al-Mu'arimah Sahib explained the same thing, but in a different language. He says, one person is in security, safe. Right? He's safe. And the other is in the clutches of fitna. He's right in the clutches, in the jaws of fitna. And the other person is in very secure, true. From all sides, he's secure, from above, from the sides, from in front, from behind. So many a times it happens that when a person is caught up in that type of situation, then Allah Ta'ala takes more care of that person that is in fitna than the person that is in security. Then he gave an example. He says, man got two children. One child, he's got him on his lap, right? He got the child on his lap. And the other child is near the furnace. So the father, as understanding as he is, this child that is in his lap, he's got him in his hands, is dear to him. But I ask you, for that moment, his focus and concern is this child that is in his lap or the child that is near the burning furnace? So sometimes it happens that when you're concerned, when you're showing that commitment, you're showing that love, you're showing that, then the love of Allah Ta'ala, the grace of Allah Ta'ala, the kindness of Allah Ta'ala is directed more to you than the person that is in the lap. So think about the giver. Don't worry about the conduit. The conduit is a conduit. But who is the giver? And the giver wants you to appreciate, love, respect, appreciate. You don't have an attitude. You say, no. Well, original, it's coming from the original. This is just a conduit. You have that, then you will receive that. Like I said, the giver is Allah. Who is the parents? It's by the way. So when you have that relationship with your parents, then the parents also make it out that, all right, so I'm just a conduit, all right. So will that parent give that type of love? Will he give that type of affection? Hazrat Ji Rahmatullahi towards the end of his life, he would say this repeatedly. You know, sometimes as you're aging up and as you're moving up, now you begin to understand what he was saying. He was saying some things, right? But now you're trying to understand, right? One is we'll accept Alhamdulillah. By the grace of Allah Ta'ala, if any of my elders said anything, right, my heart accepted it straight away. Alhamdulillah, I'm very thankful and appreciative. I must thank Allah Ta'ala. I will not question why did he have to say this. And it's not in my keeping with my line of thinking. I will never say that. Alhamdulillah. I don't attribute it to my achievement. It is just their grace. It is just their muhabbat. That I have no reservations. Right? But now, what brings you that to that level where you've got no reservation? But they are saying you have got no reservation. This is for your Islam, for your reformation, your correction. This is the right thing. And sometimes it would be that some of my akabir, right, some of my elders would have one view. Right? If I had another view, I would think to myself deeply that my reasoning is flawed. I can't understand his reasoning. That means it's a limitation, it's a weakness, it's a deficient in my reasoning, not in what he's saying. And I would keep it to myself. And alhamdulillah, sometimes then I would understand the depth of the reasoning. It would take time, it would take a year, 2 years, 3 years. Oh, I see now the thing I understand. But I would thank Allah so much, at that time I didn't open my stupid mouth, you know. I didn't open my mouth to say, no, I disagree with him. I didn't say that. I never said that, alhamdulillah. No. He's saying something, I can't understand the depth of the reasoning. It's my deficiency, it's my limitation. But there is some merit in what he's saying. My mind can't understand it. It doesn't mean that he must first scan out everything with me before he delivers. It means that I must scan out. If the Shaykh must scan out, that means you are superior. You're supposed to be sitting in his place. That's what it means. That he must first screen out everything that he's going to be speaking about. After you've checked it, then he must say it. See that reasoning. The reasoning is wrong. So this requires, this relationship is a very, very sensitive relationship. Very sensitive. I must tell you this here. I'm telling you after so much of experience, right? So much of experience I'm telling you after 40 years now. Because I was in Jalalabad for about 6 months, maybe. In the end of 79, or the end of 79, I was down there. From then count till now, it's over 40 years, right? So after you heard those things, then that thing takes time to settle. It matures. And then you see, all right, this is the merit in what these people had to say. It's great people, luminaries, what they had to say. This is the merit. It didn't strike at that time immediately. And it doesn't mean if it didn't strike, then it didn't have the effect. It had the effect. But it just had, you just require the time for that thing to materialize, to open up, to fruit. It needed some time. When you got the time, then it fruited. Then you saw the results. So Hazrat Shaykh Hamta is explaining to these people by Jo ho uski qadar kar lo. Aur inke baad ye bhi nahi milega. The one that is around, appreciate him. And after him, you won't even have this what you got now presently. Because لا يأتي على الناس يوم إلا وبعده شر منه. He says that every coming day is worse than the previous. You may have an exception for some zamana or some individual, but the general law is that every coming day is worse than the previous. Isa alayhi salam's zamana is an exception, that now is a Nabi that's around. So it will be better than what is now presently. But what's the general law? The general law is the coming day is worse. So what's there around now, Hazrat Ji once mentioned, he says, log nayi nayi baat talab karte hain, chahte hain ke nayi baatein sunayi jaye. They want to hear, listen to new things. Bhai, jo baatein batai jati hai, what's been shown, uske par to amal karte nahi. Aur nayi baatein pooch rahe. Last week there was someone that came and asked me, not doing my mamulat. Right. But to him, see, I won't prescribe any new treatment. I'll give you the same old treatment. And if I am going to give you a new treatment, that means that I am speculating. Now, let me just show you the source of the statement. Hazrat Thangvi Sahib Rahmatullahi was teaching in Kanpur. So he was getting about 50 rupees. He had an offer to come to Muradabad, and the offer was for about 500 rupees. From 50, a jump to 500, right? That's someone you can think of. What was the salary then and what was the offering? So Mullah's answer, he replied to that request, that application. He replied to it. He said, no, I'm busy now and I won't be able to leave this work here and come over to you. Right? And then he writes, after this he writes, that's the important point what he writes. And if I leave the present job and come over to you, right, then you must not have trust in me, because you offered 500, right? There may be someone that can offer 1,000, that I'll jump away, I'll hop away from you to that person. So can you have trust in me? This whole work, this deen works on trust, love, commitment, loyalty. That's the thing, that's the missing ingredient in this zaman. And I said just now, towards the end you say this, muhabbat ka piyasa. I don't know why he should say it, but he should say it. But now I'm getting to realize really what was the meaning. Because the statements, they mature in your mind after some time. And then you see the effects of it. Because at that time, alhamdulillah, we had no reservation. What he said, maybe the mahal was so good, or maybe the people were so good, that we had no reservation, no hesitation. He accepted it. Even if he shouted, for that moment you feel, for that moment we are insan, right? But after that, we didn't harbor it in our hearts, I caught it today. Today he was directing the whole speech to me. Now this happens so many times, and I don't know what to do. You're going somewhere, and a situation just came out, you spoke about something. And the next moment, say, wow, who told you about this thing here? Who told you about this? My secret, who told you about it? But it just came to the mind at that time, and you spoke about it. When you spoke about it, there was nobody that inspired you, nobody leaked the message. See, when the absence of that muhabbat, what happens? That vacuum is taken over by your suspicion. And your suspicion, what triggers it further, is you feeling that I'm intelligent. I'm clever, so I can read between the lines. Now that triggers your suspicion. And that suspicion after, then causes you to shift away. There's a distance. Before there was a muhabbat, now there's a distance. But what triggered it? Thing triggered it was your suspicion. And your suspicion because you had some type of an experience that you didn't like. You were not comfortable with that experience. So that was the first trigger. That trigger that what he created suspicion. And suspicion, what he did, suspicion then distanced you. And when he distanced you, then whatever the scene is saying, then doesn't appeal to you. So when it doesn't appeal to you, then the better thing is to say, Assalamu alaikum, and carry on. Because you got that suspicion, you can't progress. Really, you can't progress. That whole progress is just stunted. The same stunted. So it may be that you come here, and you feel that you are benefiting, but I would say you're not benefiting. Because that little bit of aversion is created. From that aversion, it went to a suspicion. From a suspicion, it came to a distance. Now that is just going to carry on escalating. So the safer thing for that individual is to carry on. Right? Take someone and move on. Otherwise, now for all the days, all the time, you'll be stuck at one spot. And you can't make the progress. Are you thinking, why can't I make the progress? Why can't I make the progress? Why can't I make it? One person is in Tana Bhuvan. And after Asar, it used to be like an open majlis, you know. So, if someone has got some query, he'll query. Otherwise, others will be busy with his correspondence. Now, Hazrat is watching the person and as though he wants to give his letter. And Hazrat is avoiding him. And he's doing as though he wants to give the letter and Hazrat is avoiding him. Eventually he got to give the letter. So now Hazrat let him have it. He says to him that all those words that you used against me in my absence, those words had reached me. See the walls have got ears, right? Via, it will come. So those words that you used against me, that's becoming a wall between me and yourself. I have to tell you this because you may think that you're going to be taking some benefit. But you've been speaking something and something again and something for the third time. And that became a big barrier between me and you. Now I don't think you'll benefit. So he says, he turns around and says to us, میں سنا کہ تو نے آپ نے سب کو معاف کر دیا اور قیامت تک سب کو معاف کر دیا. But I heard that you had made maaf for everybody till the day of قیامت. میں اب بھی کہتا ہوں, and I say it now again, that I've made maaf for everybody until the day of قیامت. I got no grudge in my heart for anybody. But after all, I'm a human being and I remember the words that you have said. I remember the words you have said, and you have not notified me that you made Tawbah and you retract the statements. You made statements, but at no time did you come to me and tell me, you know, I retract and I made a mistake, I shouldn't have done this. So my mind will tell me that you still are on the statements that you had made before. That's what my mind will tell me. Alright, you made those statements and you have made no retractions. When you haven't made those retractions, so you are still keeping to those statements that you had made in the past. So that's what the mind will say. So when the mind is saying this, then how do you expect me to have a clear mind towards you? I mean, maaf, that's a different thing. But I'll be having some type of reservation against you. And then he says, you, what are you? Mautan is saying, you're an absolute jahil, what are you? People like Shah Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, I've got so much of respect for me, right? They are encyclopedias and libraries, and they've got respect for me, and a jahil like you, and you're speaking like this. You see now, this, what I'm trying to get at here is the relationship with Hazrat Mujaddid Al-Fasani Rahmatullahi had spoken about. Last night, I'd done my mutal, everything in the madrasa, and sometimes I would just go through it again, you know, whatever I'm going to be teaching the next morning. I just go and repeat again, just to refresh and recap everything. So, it was the fifth volume that I needed, and I just finished the fourth volume, and the fifth volume I hadn't taken it home. So when I hadn't taken the fifth volume home, so I said, hey, let me just, I got Mujaddid Sahib Rahmatullah's Malfuzat, let me just look at it. So this was the Malfuzat that I checked out last night. Right? And that was also just a coincidence. But Allah Ta'ala, there's no coincidence. It was already taqdeer. For me, our imagination is a coincidence. But I just turned the page, and this is what I saw. That the taraqqi and your progress is based on the adherence to the sunnah and the love for the shaykh. And I say, how accurate this man has got in. How accurate. How he's got it. Spot on he's got it. There must be a reason why Allah made him Mujaddid Al-Fasani. Mujaddid, a revivalist for the millennium, what, 1,000 years, all the corruption that is set in India. So we are talking about that person that came into the Khanqah, and he is not seeing any progress. And the scores of people sitting there, no progress. This man came in yesterday, shitti lekar ke ur gaye. He got the certificate, he's gone. So I say that the walls have got ears as well, you see. See, this relationship, I say again, I must tell you, it's very sensitive, very sensitive. And you can't help it now. You know, what I'm talking about, look at our great ancestor, Miyaji Nur Muhammad Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. Exactly the same thing that happened to Mawlana Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, it happened to him as well. His khanqah was not very big. There's few people, the work was carrying on. Right? The giver is Allah Ta'ala. We don't worry about the people, the crowd, how many people attended, how many people didn't attend. That's not the thing. Right? The mall that you open, you don't see how many people attended, by what business you made. That's the thing. People are just attending for the excitement and they go away. But they didn't do any purchasing. So is that the business, how you look at it? Look at the business, how many people bought the product, what turnover you made. Ibn Atta Iskandari Rahmatullah, he says this again, same thing he speaks about. He says, some people get fooled by the downpour. When they see a rain, they get fooled and they get carried away. Hey, two beautiful ring there. She said, but don't look at that. Look at what production comes out. Because it may be a downpour, it may not be at the right time, or not at the right level. Right? Or it may be that some worms, maggots has got the farm, and that thing finished the whole farm. Right? Or if that didn't happen, then maybe at the time of harvesting, you were not feeling well, and you couldn't get the employees to go and harvest the whole place. So you don't look at that. You look at the end by it. What was the production? You made this, some amount of money you made. That's how you look at it. So the same in deen, you don't look at the crowd that came in. You look at how much was taken away. It can be just one person that's taken. Alhamdulillah. La ayyahadiyallahu bika rajulan wahidat khayrun laka min humurin na'am. So don't look at that. Look now. Now that requires that there must be a lot of ta'alluq with Allah, the crying, weeping. Mawlana Abdullah Kapodri, rahmatullah alayh, he says, I was with Shaykh al-Islam in Gujarat when he was doing his rounds. So I begged that Khadim, can I spend the night with the Shaykh al-Islam? And Shaykh al-Islam wouldn't want anybody to be in that room. For whatever reason, but that I discovered later on, right? So I sneaked away, somehow I put out the Khadim here, there, whatever, sweet talked him, and I got into the room. Exactly at Tahajjud, the crying that came out, the weeping that came out, you know, like a small child, you know, he's weeping it. Taras, taras karke rora, he's crying. So I said, hey, this was the reason why he wanted the seclusion. So we're talking of, we're talking about? Ji? Yeah, khilafat, lekar ke chale gaye. So the Shaykh got the message. When I was talking about Miyaji Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. So Miyaji Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh had exactly the same experience that he had. See, that has more time Sahib Rahmatullah had. Now this type of stories we do relate. Why I do relate? Now someone may say, alright, now we're relating because he may want to pamper the Murideen. So the Murideen again come back. No, not for that. It is just to show you by you taking a wrong course that at some time in your life you don't say that you were going wrong and the Shaykh sensed it and he didn't bring it to your attention. He brought it to your attention. Now to correct yourself is your business. But our idea is to show it to you. These are the problem areas. You need to check this thing out all the time. Now, again, repeatedly, you have to keep checking those problem areas. You see those problem areas, you will come right. But you don't want to do the thing, then you can't blame the Shaykh that the Shaykh knew about it, but he didn't speak about it. So, Miyaji Rahmatullahi, one person comes in, and Miyaji has taken, accepted him for the bayat. So, Miyaji used to make tawajjuh on his murideen. So, one day he says to that murid, you see, this path is a path of sincerity. And I must tell you that you're not going to benefit in this. And man seems to be so dedicated, so devoted, so good. But Miyaji Sahib is saying, but you're not going to take any benefit from me. You better move on. Then he gave him the reason. You see, he says, you see, you used to be standing at the holes and you used to be hurling abuse against me. The news would reach somehow, directly, indirectly. But it reaches that you've been hurling abuse, right? And this information was reaching me. Now I sit down to make dua for you, to make tawajjuh on you. But that abuse, that insult that you were hurling against me, that is coming against my heart like arrows being shot to me. See, it's coming that way. So now, you're not going to take the benefit of me. So I need to tell you, but you need to carry on. Go on, move on. You're not going to take the benefit. So this path is a very sensitive path. There can't be a path that is more enjoyable, really. If you come really on the path, come on that path, then I can say you without any exaggeration, is like the feeling of Jannah that you get in this world. But just you have to come on. Right? You will definitely get that. But that requires the first statement that I made, a humble acceptance. What Allah Pak is saying, what is Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is saying, what the great Sahaba Kiram, Tabi'een, experts of Deen, what they are saying, to just humbly accept it, humbly accept. And then you see you're moving so nicely, so smoothly you're moving. It can be miles away, but you got those principles in place and you see how you're moving. The humble acceptance. This is what is required. So we're coming back to that story of that sheikh, the person, chitti lekar ke ur gaya, flew away, he took the chitti and he's gone. And I explained that people in the past, they were simple, contented, and apart from the contentment, they had a lot of yaqeen, Allah Ta'ala, a lot of yaqeen. Some of them were such that they saw the fruit of the efforts in their lives. Minhum man qada nahbahu, minhum man yantazir. Some saw the fruits in their lifetime, they saw the fruits. And some, their works had fruited, but after them. It doesn't mean that it didn't fruit, it fruited, but after them. I was explaining to someone, Haji Ahmad Magda Sahib, rahmatullah alayhi, Allah Ta'ala fill his grave with nur. So, you get all types of people coming here. So you get an overview of Durban, the world, here, there. So this person, simple person, very ordinary, you know, you can't even imagine that he would have observed such a thing. He says that man used to be doing gusht with him, right? Old man, but firm in his ways, and used to be doing gusht with him. And at that time, the Hilal Masjid was a hotel, right? But as we were doing gusht, passing there, so he will just stop. He'll raise his hand and he'll ask the Jamaat to move on. And you can see now the man is really making dua, tears is making dua. That this place will be turned into a masjid. So he didn't live to see the fruit of his work. But he carried on. He carried on. So kam karna tha, he carried on. Now we are looking for the fruit and my reputation, looking for all these things here. He didn't worry about that. What he did was, جو ہمارا کام کرنے کا کام ہے ہم کر کے جائے we must do a work with that yakin Allah Ta'ala will make it work. He's a listener in the سَمِيعُ الدُّعَى. He will listen to our duas. How he'll listen, when he'll listen, that is his work. You don't interfere with Allah Ta'ala's plan. Yes, are you doing the work, crying to Allah Ta'ala, begging him for forgiveness, looking at your faults, your mistakes, weaknesses, trying to correct here, trying to correct there? Are you doing that much? تو اپنا کام دیکھو. Look at your work. Don't look at now. Don't interfere with the work of Allah. Why is not like this? And why is this person? Why, that's not your work. Are you doing your work? You do your work and just assign to Allah Ta'ala. Do your work and leave it to Allah Ta'ala. What you're supposed to be doing, do that much as been illustrated to you, explained to you by your elders. Do it and then leave it to Allah Ta'ala. Now you speak about something about Islah. You get a murid saying, where's the hawala for this? Where's the reference for this? Hey, your heart just breaks. Really, my heart breaks. Where's the reference for this? Alright, he's saying for a good reason I want to copy it. Hey, but what's the need to ask for this? What's the reference? Don't ask this. That means you have got some reservation, some doubt. See, this, I'm saying this relationship is very sensitive. You don't realize it. Many people, even they have progress, but they don't realize the sensitivity. Hazrat Nizamuddin Awliya Rahmatullah Alayhi. He is by Shaykh Quddin Rahmatullah Alayhi. And he's talking about Fusus al-Hikam. The copy that I've got is a little bit worn out. I don't know, umpteen times I heard it from Mazajim. Same story, repeated. The thing is worn out. So the Nizamuddin Rahmatullah says, yes, Fana Sahib ke paas bada achha nuskha hai. So and so person has got a good copy. So Qutbuddin Sahib is saying, یہ پرانا ہے اس میں کیا نظر آتا ہے. That's all. After that majlis, the son tells her, Nizamuddin Rahmatullah Alayhi, that is the murid now, saying, you know what, the sheikh is very disappointed with you. Hey, but I didn't mean bad, man. But he's disappointed. But I didn't mean anything. I was crying and crying. A couple of good days he allowed to go. And then eventually he said, see, Dil saaf hai, sab maaf hai. You have to come to that point where the sheikh has to say, Dil saaf hai, sab maaf hai. But you're not making that approach. You're not asking for maaf, no remorse, carrying on, like nothing happened. And then you want to have and enjoy the same relationship with the sheikh. How is it going to happen? Like Hazrat Thami Sahib Rahman is saying, Amid maaf. But now, you didn't have the decency to come to me and tell me that I have retracted my stupidity, that I had been doing all these things. You didn't. Now, I must be thinking that you still maintain those thoughts. When you maintain this thought, then how can I have a relationship with you? See that. See the sensitivity. So when he said that, sab maaf hai, aur dil saaf hai. And then he said, ye musalla bhi le jao, aur ye jubba bhi le jao. Kabhi kabhi usko pehen karke namaz padhna. He says, I appreciated that very much. But if ever that thought, you know, passed my mind that I did blurt these things out in the presence of my sheikh, if it came out, really I was so hurt. I was so, how can I be so stupid? How could I do such a thing? You see the sensitivity this father has got. It's very sensitive. Very sensitive. But if you conform, I say you, in this world, you will enjoy as though you're in Jannah. And if you don't, let me tell you very clearly, you will be putting yourself into a circle of doubts, suspicion, and things will become harder and harder and harder and difficult all the time. So the sensitivity. وَإِنْ ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَحْدَهُ اشْمَأَزَّتْ قُلُوبُ الَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْآخِرَةِ That's what happened. اشْمَأَزَّتْ That the heart gets covered. That's what happens. And then you just go in a circle like that. Circle. So we didn't finish that first story. The whole hour went, but we didn't finish the whole story. I was thinking of what to speak on. Allah just put me on this line here. Maybe there's a need for it, so Allah allowed me to speak. So anyway, when the Shaykh got to know that this was the discussion in the Khanqa, so he asked the people to get some firewood. See the tree there? Just cut the branches and bring it here. Now they're setting it alight, not coming right. Alight, not coming right. Carrying on, it's not working out. Then he says, all right, see that other tree that has dried off already, completely dried, go and break that tree and bring it here. And for that, he just set alight straight away. Now we explain, you see, you people, the moisture of the nafs is very deep in you. There's a lot of moisture, the moisture of nafs. The moisture of shaitan is still very, very wet in you. So, to light and to spark the love of Allah Ta'ala is taking a lot of time. Because the nafs is not yet suppressed, it's not yet dried out. The nafs is not yet dried out. If it's not yet dried out, then how can we instill the pure love? How can you pass on the pure love of Allah Ta'ala to you? How can you do it? I ask you, you got a 20 liters of milk and someone spilled in 1 teaspoon of urine. Are you going to take that milk? So this is love. You can't think of something that is purer, love of Allah Ta'ala. Then how Allah Ta'ala will endure this? How will he take this? You're asking for his love. You're asking for that special contact, connection with Allah Ta'ala. But then all this dirt and the filth, the moisture of the nafs is inside. Then how is this going to set alight? How is it going to come alight? But then he gives them a note of encouragement. This mashayikh, they don't discourage. Harche buad baz a. Sad bar toba mi shakast baz a e darbair ma darbair na umidinis. He said, even if your tawbah breaks for 100 times, come back. But there's a way, like I explained, there's a way to come back. Sat bar tawbah mi shikasti basa. Even if the tawbah breaks for 100 times, come back. There's no such a thing like despondence here. Allah is ready. He's going to embrace the tawbah. At-ta'ibu min al-zambi kammal la zamba lahu. At-ta'ibu habibullah. There's no such a thing like despondency. But come back. Come back. There's a procedure to come back. Follow the procedure and come back, and you'll see the mercy of Allah Ta'ala embracing it. But make the approach. So then he gives them a note of encouragement. He says, carry on. One day the moisture of the nafs in you will dry out, and then you see the fire of love just igniting. Allah Ta'ala grant us all.